Well, good morning, and thank you, Mr. Chairman, for this opportunity to address the 2009 Beltwide Cotton Conferences regarding cotton's current economic landscape. You know, as you heard Barry make a reference to 2008, it certainly was a memorable year, but that's not always in a positive sense, and in this case, not for always the best reasons. Uncertainty and volatility became the rule rather than the exception when we look back at last year. You know, the effects of an erratic futures market were felt throughout the industry. 2008 also brought sharply higher fuel and fertilizer costs. And in addition, the deteriorating financial situation and a faltering economy have raised doubts about the consumer's willingness and ability to purchase textile and apparel products. You know, as a result, the cotton market, along with most commodity markets, took on a bearish tone as we went through the latter half of last year. You know, for 2009, I think one of the big questions continues to be the extent to which those problems linger and also the potential for seeing some recovery as we go through this year. You know, in the next few minutes, I want to just touch on three main areas that are going to affect U.S. cotton's economic situation. You know, the first is the current demand climate for cotton, and then talk about the importance of exports to the U.S. market, and then finally touch on the recent movements in energy prices and some of their implications. You know, we do find cotton demand, and as Barry alluded to, facing a very difficult climate right now. You know, we've seen the turmoil in the financial markets. That's restricted credit availability. The economic downturn and increased job losses have made consumers much more cautious in their spending patterns. And we also continue to face the competition from man-made fibers, as we'll see in just a couple of minutes. And when you look at all of those effects of the macroeconomic situation, they are becoming evident in the estimates that we have for you for global mill use. USDA's latest numbers, and these were put out back in the early part of December, put mill use for the 08 marketing year at about 116.5 million bales. And this is down from the 07 marketing year number of just over 123 million bales. And also keep in mind, as I go through and talk about the marketing year, for example, the 08 marketing year, we're talking about August 1, 2008 through July 31 of 2009. So textile mills, as they face tighter credit conditions, they faced higher input costs, they've seen reduced orders from retailers. I mean, as we look across the board, we're expecting to see declines in most countries for this marketing year. If we take China, for example, which still accounts for about 40% of this total, they're going to see the first decline in mill use that they've seen since 1998. You know, I think the big question right now that's really kind of hanging over the market is whether or not these current estimates capture the extent of the decline that we may see in the 08 marketing year. Because I do think if you probably look at some industry estimates that are out there, might even be a slightly more bearish for the 08 marketing year than what USDA has. We'll get the next view of USDA numbers when they come out next Monday. You know, as we look at the demand side in a little more detail, you know, we're seeing this slowdown as well when we look at the textile trade data that we have out there. The United States is the largest market for imported textile and apparel products, and imported products supply about 90% of U.S. purchases. But if you look at 2008, imports consistently ran below year earlier levels, as noticed by the negative numbers. And that comes on the heels of having 3 years where we saw imports generally increase by about 5% above year earlier levels. Now, the U.S. is the largest importer. China is the largest exporter of textile and apparel products. Last year, growth in Chinese textile exports slowed dramatically, as you see, that looking at 11% in the first half of the year, only 5% in the second half of the year, and that comes on the heels of 20%+ growth in the 3 years prior. So now we are seeing the slowdown filter into the textile trade data. We're seeing it filter into the mill use numbers, and one of the primary reasons behind it is obviously the softer demand situation is the current pessimism in the general economy. In 2008, economic growth slowed in most countries. In recent estimates by the International Monetary Fund, unfortunately, call for calendar 2009 to be slower, to be worse year than what we saw in calendar 2008. As you can see, for advanced or developed economies, the current estimates call for a contraction of about 0.3% in calendar 2009. That comes on the heels of growth for 08 of just under 2%. If you look at developing economies, the growth for 09 is expected at around 5%. And historically, we see that that growth in the 6 to 8% range. You know, if you look at their projections out going forward, they still call for recovery in 2010. So that at least they see this contraction to be fairly, or slowdown to be short-lived, although the recovery for 2010 is not as robust as recent historical levels, probably looking more like a year like 2008. Now, one of the things they stress is the uncertainty around the projections, and they also point out that these projections are based on current policies. So if there's future stimulus packages, that can certainly change the outlook as we move into 2009 and looking ahead in 2010. But at least right now, it looks like in the short term, still a lot of pessimism exists in terms of how quickly the economy is going to recover. You know, another factor to keep in mind when we look at cotton demand is the competition that's out there from man-made fibers. And specifically, we continue to face strong competition from polyester. Now, this chart that is in front of you examines the price relationships, and they do vary across countries, but this covers China, India, and Pakistan, and looking at relationships of cotton prices relative to polyester prices, and gives you some idea of the competitive landscape that we see when we look at cotton prices as compared to polyester. You know, in China, internal prices and import controls for cotton have generally supported cotton prices at a level that are 120 to 130% of polyester prices. Now, it is the case that as we look over the last several weeks, we've actually seen quite a bit of weakness in polyester prices in China. That's actually pushed that ratio above 160% in some of the most recent data we have. So the competition is still out there from lower priced polyester, particularly when you look at the Chinese market. If we move on and talk about India, for example, the cotton and polyester prices are currently at fairly similar levels, as evidenced by that one-to-one relationship between cotton and polyester. That is a little bit, though, a different picture than what we saw in the two previous years, and as you notice, that black line start to creep up, essentially saying that we've seen that relationship change and cotton prices increase relative to polyester prices over the last couple of years. So again, reiterating that the competition is certainly out there as we look at the situation with man-made fibers relative to cotton. Just to put things in a little bit more of a historical perspective, as we look at cotton demand again and try to wrap up the demand side, the current estimates by USDA call for a 5.5% decline in global mill use. And you can see as we look back to the early 1970s, there's been really about four previous years where there was a decline in excess of 2%. The largest decline was in 1974, which was 5.4%. So, you know, it appears that the number for the current marketing year is going to be unmatched, at least in recent history, in terms of the potential downturn. I guess one thing to point out as we look out in front of us in terms of trying to gauge where demand may go, looking back at those past downturns, you know, it's been the case every time that we've come on the heels of those downturns and generally seen a fairly robust and quick recovery in cotton demand. Hopefully that'll be the case again as we go out over the next year or two, but at least that's been the case in the past, that after a downturn there has been a pick back up in demand in the following a couple of years. Let me move along and just look at the U.S. cotton demand situation in a bit more detail, and we're all too familiar with the shift that we've seen in terms of the demand for U.S. cotton. The U.S. textile industry has been devastated by the surge in imported textile and apparel products, so what has always been our largest and most stable customer for U.S. cotton is only less than half the size that it was a decade ago. You know, I guess we at least have seen over the last couple of years that the losses have slowed, and also in the current farm bill we have some much needed economic assistance for the textile mills that should provide some stability to that industry going forward and hopefully allow the U.S. industry to continue to maintain a domestic demand base in the range of 4 to 4.5 million bales. Now, clearly the U.S. textile industry is critically important to the overall health of the U.S. cotton industry, but it's also important to keep in mind that they still account for just 30% of the cotton we produce every year. The remaining 70% of our crop is going to need to find a home in the export markets. And in recent years, those top three destinations have been China, Mexico, and Turkey. And that the current marketing year, the slowdown in global meal demand is having a direct impact on U.S. exports. Latest USDA estimates brought exports down again to just about 12.2 million bales for the current 08 marketing year. And that's a number that still is achievable, but frankly, we do need to see an improvement in both the weekly sales and shipment data as we move further into this marketing year to try to hit that total. And in large part, the ability to export into the international market is the ability for U.S. exports is going to depend on what kind of gap we see between meal use internationally and production internationally. And you can see that between 1998 and 2005 that we generally saw that gap between international use, international demand, and international production grow. And really the expansion, the growth occurred because meal use expanded at a faster pace than the increases we saw in production. Now that's changed somewhat the last couple of years, and in particular the downturn that we're seeing in 2008 meal use has narrowed that gap in the international markets to roughly about 12 million bales. And if we try to look at that gap on a slightly different scale, as shown by the red bar in this chart of the international deficit, you know, clearly that's going to be set the stage for somewhat the size of the market that's out there for U.S. exports, and there is a strong correlation between that deficit and U.S. exports. And again, as that gap was increasing between 98 and 2005, we saw U.S. exports increase. And then as over the last couple of years, as that gap has narrowed, likewise, U.S. exports have declined to about 13 million last year, and now below that this year, probably somewhere around the 12 million bale range. Going forward, I don't think there's any way to stress this too much. The U.S. cotton industry is going to rely heavily on exports. You know, that's going to be the outlet for the vast majority of U.S. production. And so it's certainly in the interest of this industry that that deficit between international demand and international production continue to grow. And it appears the way to make that happen is to try to continue to hope demand grows or do what we can to see demand grow internationally, because that growth in demand is really going to set the stage for what type of market we can see for U.S. cotton and then put ourselves in a position to try to satisfy that market. Final area I want to touch on is just to make a few comments about energy prices and how that has affected input prices, because we know that's something that directly affects the bottom line of producers. And I think when we look back at 2008, that's going to turn out to be probably the most expensive crop that we've seen in terms of production cost, particularly as oil prices went above $140 per barrel last summer. That equates to about $3 per gallon, as you see in the chart here. Retail gasoline and diesel prices, we know, went above $4 per gallon, and we saw retail diesel surpass $4.50 a gallon. I guess one of the few bright spots as we look at the current economic situation is the decline that we've seen in energy prices. Crude oil prices have fallen back now to the range of about $1.30 per gallon. And if you look at, in coming back in line with levels that we see more in 2006 and 2007. And if we look at some of the latest projections, these are projections by the Department of Energy, really call for oil prices to stay at near current levels as we look out through the remainder of 2009. So they don't see a big run up to the levels that we observed last year. And likewise, they call for diesel prices to remain near current levels as well as we go through 2009. So at least we can see some relief there. You know, in a similar manner as the way crude oil prices have declined, we've also seen some weakening in natural gas prices during the second half of last year. Again, going back to some Department of Energy projections, they call for those prices to hover somewhere in the $6 per thousand cubic foot range as we go through 2009. So again, seeing some softer prices for 08 or for 09 compared to what we saw last year. You know, while the relationship between natural gas prices and nitrogen fertilizer prices is not as direct as we see between crude oil and diesel prices, you know, we can look, if we look at USDA's nitrogen fertilizer price index, see some relationship between the two, typically though with a little bit of a lag between when nitrogen prices move as compared to fertilizer prices. We are seeing some signs that nitrogen prices have declined somewhat from the 08 highs. It remains to be seen, you know, what happens between particularly now and planting time, but hopefully those weaker natural gas prices will provide some relief in overall fertilizer cost as well. It's always difficult to translate those input prices into cost of production that might be representative of your particular operation because of differences in soils, production practices, and management decisions. But if we look at some of the latest estimates by USDA for the 2008 crop, they estimate that the cost of production of purchased inputs for cotton came in at just under $500 per acre in 2008. That's about $65 above what they say for the 2007 cost and roughly $100 above what they say for 2006. Now, again, remains to be seen what holds for 2009, though at least at current prices, we should see some lessening of production cost as we look at 09 relative to 08 and hopefully see a production cost environment that looks more like 06 and 07 than compared to what we had in 2008. You know, one other point to make in terms of looking at the implications of energy prices, and they extend beyond just input prices, but also to the fact that we've created a stronger linkage between oil prices and corn prices with the renewable fuels mandate. And this just charts out oil futures and the futures prices of corn. And you can see that as we've seen some weakness in oil prices, we've also seen some weakness in corn prices. In some research that's from Iowa State University as well as Purdue University would suggest that at these current level of oil prices, you talk about what is a break-even price for an ethanol plant in terms of what it can afford to pay for corn, generally puts that number somewhere between $2.50 and $3.50 per bushel. So as we go forward, and if these type of oil prices persist, I guess one of the things to keep in mind is that we're probably also going to see some pressure on grain prices as well, given these oil prices. So that's going to be something that factors in certainly to the planning decisions this year. You know, as noted at the outset, certainly volatility has defined the cotton market as we went through 2008. I mean, we saw a move from 90 cents on the December 08 contract in the spring of the year down to 40 cents in November of last year, and seeing a move of that magnitude in that span of time is unprecedented when we look back at past market moves. So we have seen a tremendous amount of volatility. We've seen the cotton market rebound somewhat from those November lows. But I think, you know, like most commodity markets right now, we're just continuing to see a lot of the pressure about the concerns of the macroeconomic situation and the concerns about demand. I think if we try to wrap up quickly and just make a few comments about the overall situation, you know, for cotton, despite the lower production that we've seen, not just in the U.S., but globally, the downturn that we've had in demand is probably only going to lead to a modest decline in stocks. And as you all know, we came into this marketing year with a very high level of stocks. So we have a lot of stocks still to work through the system, and probably on a global basis only going to work through a small amount of those as we move through this year. I do think that we're still looking at, the markets are still looking at some signs of recovery in the overall economic situation and some type of improved demand. Competition from other crops is going to keep pressure on area. I don't think that's just in the U.S. I think it's also in other countries as well. For example, we see some reports out of China that they're considering moving some land out of cotton and into grain production. And I think farmers in the U.S. are going to weigh those same decisions as they look at where commodity prices and input prices go over the next 3 to 4 months. But I think given the volatility that's there, I'm not sure that any decisions are set in stone at this point. I think it's likely that farmers are going to very much take a wait-and-see attitude and put off those decisions as long as they can, just depending on where prices are, not just for the output, but also for the input. I do think at current stock levels, you know, it's difficult to find a lot of short-term optimism in price, particularly in this current demand environment. But I do think also one thing we have to keep in mind is we have seen, as last year was evidence, we've seen the situation can change quickly in this volatile environment. I think in trying to adapt to this volatile environment is going to be critical as not only you move into this year, but moving out in front of us. Mr. Chairman, once again, I'd like to thank you for the opportunity to address this Beltwide Conference, and that concludes my report.